Send Christian greetings to each one this morning. Again, a privilege to be in God's house, away from the elements of nature. It can be very comfortable in this setting, and we thank God for all the blessings He's given to us. I'd like to get back on our theme of strong homes make faithful churches. And if I'm wearing you out, let me know. Probably two more after today that I'd like to do. I'd like to shift to looking at aspects of the home in child training or lack thereof, and how that comes right into the church. How that what we teach and what we don't teach comes into the home. Strong homes make faithful churches. In other words, then, we could say the opposite of that. Weak homes make unfaithful or weak churches. So this is number 5 of the series. I'd like to consider the title of Obedience, the Cornerstone of a Strong Home. Obedience, the cornerstone of a strong home. If someone was to ask me what the single most important thing to teach our children is, I would say obedience. If you would ask me, put it all together in just one word, I would say that is obedience. That would be my answer. The saying is, you teach a child to obey first, and after that teach him anything. It is so vital, so central. What is obedience? Again, speaking, and going back to the title, you say, well, isn't Jesus Christ the cornerstone? Yes, and I'm assuming all that's in place. I'm going from there up to where Jesus Christ is, yes, the cornerstone of our home. There's no doubt. God, we could put the word, the Bible. I'm thinking of practical aspects of teaching in our home. So what is obedience? A real short definition I found in the dictionary. Obedience. Dutiful or submissive compliance. Dutiful or submissive compliance. It is when parents say to their child, do this, and he does that. And do not do this, and they do not do that. And we all know as parents that this is a journey. It's a work in process. We have 4, 5, 6, whatever, 8 children, and say, okay, it's all taught. We're done. Now we're just going to feed them and clothe them, and it's as far as the training and the teaching, it's finished. They're obedient children. It's done. It doesn't happen that way, but it's an ongoing work. It's an ongoing effort on the parents' part to teach and train that lifestyle of obedience, to bring children to where they into submissive compliance. That, again, when we say go, they go. When we say come, they come. It is so important. We'd like to look at some of the reasons why that is so important. A verse that has stuck out to me for some years is the story of Jesus in Luke 2, when they were going up to, well, they went to have their yearly sacrifice, and I was at Nazareth. I forget where the town was. But anyway, on the way back, he got lost in the crowd, and then Mary and Joseph found him and asked him about that. And it says in Luke 2:51, right following that, it says, and he went down with them, who? His parents, and came to Nazareth, and was subject unto them. Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, a boy at this point, maybe about 12 or 13, was subject to his parents. There was a submissive compliance that Jesus Christ, and because he was the Son of God, he was no doubt smarter than his earthly parents. There was no doubt he had keener insights, I believe. Because I believe he was divine from birth. He was not beset with the faults and the problems. I don't know where all this, but I just love how it says he was subject to them. And I would challenge our young people and the children that can understand what I'm saying this morning is to be obedient to your parents. It is vital. It is vital to be obedient to your parents in relation to your soul reaching eternity. And we'll look at some of those connections in a little bit. Again, we like to look at this subject in a practical way. However, there is some deeper concepts and maybe a little more principled than practical this time, but we like to end up on a practical note. We'd like to look in the first area, the call to obedience. Endeavoring to connect what it means in all of life, what it means in spiritual life, to begin early in physical life, being obedient. What is the connection? And thinking about what God is asking. Read a few verses, Ephesians chapter 6, 1 and 2. You probably know those by heart. But thinking of the call to obedience. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Here we have it straight from God, that children are to obey their parents. Now, if children are going to obey their parents, then there is parents that are requiring something. If we let children do whatever they want to do and go wherever they want to go, there's no restrictions, no commands, no guidelines, then children aren't obedient. This verse, it's unsaid, but it's understood. If there's obedient children, then there's parents giving direction and command. That's also there in Ephesians 6:1. Children, obey your parents. There are parents that are giving that direction to their children. I find very closely related to obedience is honor for authority. Honor thy father and mother. Hold them in high regard. Not because they always have the maybe even the best answer. Maybe not because they were smarter. Joseph and Mary, I don't believe, were more intelligent than Jesus. But Jesus honored them and obeyed them. Why? Because God had brought them into his life as his earthly parents. And he subjected himself to them. A few more verses in Deuteronomy, two scriptures we'd like to look at in Deuteronomy again. Just looking at the call to obedience, Deuteronomy chapter 26, verse 16. Listen to what this says, how important obedience is and where God holds it. This day the Lord thy God hath commanded thee. And it's in the context of God giving law and order to the children of Israel. Deuteronomy 26:16. This day the Lord thy God hath commanded thee to do these statutes and judgments. Thou shalt therefore keep them and do them with all thine heart and with all thy soul. Making the connection that in obedience in our home, and we'll look at this again later. I might repeat it several times because I think it's so vital. Obedience in our home is preparing a child for serving God obediently. We will get nowhere with God. We will not reach eternity in heaven unless we're obedient to God. And this is the importance of obedience in the home. To be right with God. To go into eternity in heaven and be with God, it takes obedience. And God is saying, we need to keep these. He's telling the Israelites, you need to keep them and do them with all thine heart and with all thy soul. He said, put yourself into it. Do it. This is the requirement, children, that as you become older and you come to the age of accountability and God calls you and you receive Jesus into your heart, the Christian life is a life of obedience. Deuteronomy chapter 32. And I know also there are weak homes and maybe individuals here that say, well, my home wasn't a home that I could obey my mom and dad because they didn't ask the things that God wanted to be asked. They asked me to do wrong things, evil things. And I'm sorry about that if that is the case. And that you had to make those hard choices because scripture does say we must obey God rather than man. And I think probably in this group that is a more of a rarity, that is an exception, not the rule, because of a group of Christian people. Deuteronomy 32, 45, 47, again, just emphasizing the requirement of adults in relation to God, being obedient to God, and where, again, that road of obedience continues. Deuteronomy 32, 45 through 47. And Moses has made an end of speaking all these words to all Israel. And he said unto them, set your hearts unto all the words which I testify among you this day, which ye shall command your children to observe to do. All the words of this law. For it is not a vain thing for you, because it is your life. And though this thing, and through this thing, ye shall prolong your days in the land whither ye go over Jordan to possess it. As parents, again, we are endeavoring to set our children's feet in a path of obedience, because the Christian life is a path of obedience. It is a preparation that makes it easier. Well, is it all of the answer? No. But it makes it so much easier. If a child has learned to obey at home, if we have commanded and caused our children to obey, it makes it so much easier when they get to that age of accountability to say yes to God and then say yes to Him in obedience as they walk that path of holiness. Because the path of holiness is the path of obedience. And he says here in Deuteronomy that it's not a vain thing. Again, he spells out the specifics. All. Do all the words of the law. Don't let anything out. And it's not a vain thing. He said, this is your life. This is your life. I'm impressed by those words. Now, a New Testament verse again. And there is scores and scores of verses. If you look up in your concordance, or if you have a computer program, concordance, look up the word obedience. And you'll see how vital it is. Obey, obey, obey. You'll find. So we're just taking a sampling of these verses and making the connection, trying to make the connection that God is requiring this of adults, and so it makes it easier for our youngsters if we teach them obedience in preparation for that time. Matthew 7, 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth. He that is obedient, he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. So, children, young people here this morning, If it's in your heart, you're thinking, I just can't wait till I'm 21. I can't wait till I'm married. Or I can't wait to get out from underneath this parental guidance, this obedience to my parents. Stop. Please stop. Think. The Christian life is obedience. There is a God that is looking down and says, walk in these paths. Walk in these steps. You must be obedient if you're going to reach heaven. Secondly, I'd like to look at some concepts of obedience. I think I'm going to take the time to read in Jeremiah. I just haven't heard this story read in quite a while. I remember quite a few sermons when I was a young boy on the Rechabites. Jeremiah chapter 35. It is a stunning example of some very, very obedient offspring. And I'd just like to read it and then look at some principles that I believe relate to the passage. Jeremiah 35, looking at concepts of obedience. Verse 1, the word which came unto Jeremiah from the Lord in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, the king of Judah, saying, go unto the house of the Rechabites, and speak unto them, and bring them into the house of the Lord, into one of the chambers, and give them wine to drink. Then I took Jezaniah, the son of Jeremiah, the son of Habazaniah, and his brethren, and all his sons, and the whole house of the Rechabites. And I brought them into the house of the Lord, into the chamber of the sons of Hanan, the sons of Igdaliah, the man of God, which was by the chamber of the princes, which was above the chamber of Messiah, the son of Shalom, the keeper of the door. And I set before the sons of the house of the Rechabites pots full of wine and cups. And I said unto them, drink ye wine. But they said, we will drink no wine. For Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, commanded us, saying, ye shall drink no wine, neither ye nor your sons forever. Neither shall ye build house, nor sow seed, nor plant vineyard, nor have any. All your days ye shall dwell in tents, that ye may live many days in the land where ye be strangers. Thus we have obeyed the voice of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, in all that he hath charged us. To drink no wine all our days, we, our wives, our sons, nor our daughters, nor to build houses for us to dwell in. Neither have we vineyard, nor field, nor seed. But we have dwelt in tents, and have obeyed and done according to all that Jonadab our father commanded us. Jumping down to verse 18. And Jeremiah said unto the house of the Rechabites, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Because ye have obeyed the commandment of Jonadab your father, and kept all his precepts, and done according unto all that he hath commanded you, therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Jonadab the son of Rechab shall not want a man to stand before me forever. Verse 19, I believe, is the crowning glory of this promise, and it simply means that there will always be a man before God. That was the blessing of obedience. The blessing of obedience for this group of people that had drawn lines where no one else had drawn them, and had commanded his sons and his daughters and his wives, his entire family, this is what I want you to do. And they had kept it. And if my research was correct, they were at the 200-year mark since this command was given in this chapter. It had been 200 years since, was it Rechab or Jonadab, had given that command to his sons and is carrying down to the grandsons and so on and so on. 200 years. And they kept it. Now you say, well, what is that? And we'll look at some of these principles in a little bit. But there is something about a lifestyle of obedience from a young age and a mindset of obedience that people are able to hear the call of God and are able to make right choices and obey God. God said in verse 19, the word of the Lord came, and the blessing was that there will always be a man because of this lifestyle of obedience, because you understand the value of obedience. There will always be someone before me in right standing with me. And I'm going to get ahead of myself. That's the backdrop that I like to put before us. Number one, I'm thinking of concepts of obedience. Obedience gained in the home is gained in the church. Obedience lost in the home is lost to the church. And I know you can think about this concept. You say, well, but I think of an exception. And that's true. But this is a general truth. A general truth. In other words, you say an exception could be, well, you know of a home that was really weak and obedience wasn't demanded, wasn't commanded, wasn't caused in that home. And there's a child to come out of that home and is a sterling example of godliness and holiness. That's right. That will and can happen. But there's so much advantage. The concept that I like to give, I want us to understand, there's so much advantage to the home and so much advantage to the church and so much advantage to the child. Obedience gained in the home is gained to the church. That's what happened here to the Rechabites. Because of that lifestyle of obedience, the obedience in the home, God said, because of that, I can use you over here because you will be obedient people. It's trained into you. It's a part of your lifestyle. It's a part of your heart. It is how you live. Number two, the level of obedience parents expect of their children is the same level of obedience that we carry wherever we go, into the church and unto God. And again, you say, wait. I know, there's exceptions to the rule. But I want you to understand the advantage. I want you to understand the general truth of that. The road of obedience is the same road, no matter where it is found. Whether that road of obedience is in the home, the road of obedience in the home is the same road of obedience in the school, and it's the same road of obedience in society, and it's the same road of obedience in the church, and it's the same road of obedience in holiness. The road of obedience is the same road. And so, parents, as we look at those little ones on our lap and look at those little ones in our home, It's a little bit like this road out here that if you stay on the Walnut Bottom, I know it splits up here at the Turkey Foot. 174 shoots off and turns into, I believe, what you call Walnut Bottom Road. And you go out the end of this lane and you tell your child, say, this road will take you into Carlisle. And it's true. And so you say, go to the end of the drive and you make a right and stay on the main road. Don't turn off. And I hope I'm not making a mistake here, but I think I'm right. Yeah, it'll take you into Carlisle. Because it's the same road. That's a little bit like when you in your home where you set that child's feet in the feet of obedience and you say, child, this road will take you home. It's the same road. But if we don't cause obedience in our home, it's a little bit like going to the end of the drive and telling our child to turn left and say, find your way to Carlisle. I really want that to grip our hearts. It's the same road. And so the home that is weak on obedience is going to, those children are at a disadvantage to find their way home because the road home is the road of obedience. Submissive compliance is what obedience is. The third concept I'd like to consider is obedience versus disobedience. Or obedience and disobedience is a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle. Cemented into a life at an early age. And again, you can think of someone that was raised in a corrupt, permissible society that came to Christ, no Christian background, no church background, and they found a way to look. Amen. Praise the Lord. That will happen. And it can happen. But again, I'm talking about advantage. I'm talking about what is best. What makes the road easier and the choice easier. And generally, this is true. Obedience is a lifestyle cemented into a life at an early age. I was just doing some reading recently, not too long ago. And it basically gave the ultimatum that we must teach our children to obey to the age of 2 or 3. And that obedience that they have been taught up to that point, in the ages of 2 to 3, whatever they've been taught, whether it's a lack of obedience or obedience, that pretty much is what sticks. It's a lifestyle. Disobedience. If a child is left to disobey and to disobey and to disobey, it becomes a lifestyle. A lifestyle is very difficult to overcome. And you say, well, the grace of God and conversion. Yes, I know. And it's possible. But it's a disadvantage. Because even conversion doesn't just wipe away the desire to do wrong and to disobey. It's a lifestyle. And to put those little feet on that right road, it does not mean at all costs that they will end up in eternity. But again, it's the advantage. Often the traits we manifest as an adult are similar to the traits we expressed as a child. I'm not asking for any personal stories regarding my own life. But there may be someone here that says, you know, I knew him back in school. And you say, you know, well, that's how he is today. And you've heard those conversations, talking about someone, you know, well, I went to school with him, and that's exactly how he was in school. It's because a lifestyle has been planted into our heart. And again, we can mature, and we can grow with God. That's not outside of my picture, and it's not outside of, but I'm just talking about these concepts that are so precious and so real and so much advantage to them. If we grow up in our early years, in our 2s, 3s, and 4s, and 5s, and 6s, and we're that sneaky person when dad's not around, or and we get by with that. And maybe, and again, so what dad doesn't know, how's he going to deal with? And what mom doesn't know, how's she going to deal with? Understand that. But often in those types of children, sooner or later, it will come to light. We must deal with what we know, what we clearly know. So, and the child gets by with it. He gets by with it, or she gets by with their disobedience. And they it makes a permanent, a seemingly permanent, semi-permanent, what word should I use in there, that they become this person that as they come into their teenage years, they sneak. They're a hypocrite. They're two-faced. What they do in relation to when people are watching and when people are not watching. They develop a lifestyle that is very, very difficult to break. And again, it can be broken. But again, I'm talking about advantages. Often the traits we manifest as an adult are similar to the traits we expressed as a child. And of course, we do mature and we can find help. But I'm talking to parents in thinking about putting our children's feet on that right road. Number four concept, causing our children to obey us is not really about us at all. I want you to think about that. Causing our children to obey us as parents is not really about us at all. There's an advantage to have obedient children and have a home that is structured and where things go well. But causing our children to obey is not really about us at all. It is about preparing a heart for obedience to God. And if we could somehow remember that, parents, if we could somehow remember that, as we teach and train and relate, it's not about us. It's about preparing a heart for obedience toward God. The third area I would like to look at, more practical. Third area, commitment to embracing an obedient lifestyle. And I was going to rework that. I don't like that wording, but I forgot about it. What I'd like to look at in this area is, what does it look like on the ground? How are we to accomplish this as parents? Or what? And accomplish is a big word. That means we got it done. That means, and I don't know that I'm using the word accomplish in that context. I'm using the word accomplish in, how are we going to put our feet down and our feet forward and work at this? And this will be our working goal. And this, we will move forward. And we're going to put all of our heart into it. Number one, how are we going to move ahead as parents? Our personal example of obedience must complement the obedience we require of our children. There's something about all of us, probably as parents, that we want our children to obey promptly, exactly. What other word to put in there? We want them to obey. But when it comes to my own life, before God, before the civil authority, before the church, we want just a little bit of wiggle room. But if we're going to insert this obedience into our, and be successful, help it be successful. My personal example of obedience as a father must complement the obedience I am requiring of my children before God. As my children look at me and say, is dad an upright person? And they can, and if, and they do that evaluation, and it might not happen until they're 12 or 13 or 14 or 15 or 16 or 21 or 28, whatever it is. And they look at dad and they say, you know what? His life aligns with what the Word of God says. Then my life has complemented the obedience that I'm requiring of my children. But if they look at my life and they say, you know what? Dad's life doesn't line up with the Word. Then I have just undermined my authority. And they will, and our children will come to the age and say, why in the world would I obey dad when dad doesn't obey God? Now, they might not go through that process, but that's the fruit and that's the temptation that is just natural. And so dads, parents, moms, it is important as we live our life before God that we live it uprightly and that we're honest and that we're kind and that we're patient. Patient. And why would a child obey me if they look at my life and they know my underground life is not in accordance to what the church wants? And I'm living that double standard. And the church requires this. But when no one's around, and I'm at home with my children, my wife, or wherever, at the cabin, or in the woods, or on vacation, or whatever, and I go and do this. But I'm the person that's trying to exact obedience out of my children. The natural response is going to be rebellion out of our children. Because my personal example doesn't complement what I'm requiring of my children. We could talk of civil law. Number two, begin teaching our children to obey at an early age. And we went over that just a little. Begin teaching. And maybe I'll say on this one, at an early age, you know, there's something, so you can tell a 1.5-year-old, a child that is barely able to walk. You tell him, come here. And he doesn't come. Come here, I'm telling you, come here. And we can go over the top. But what I would recommend, as I see as wise at a young age like that, where you give a command, say, come. Come here, whatever. And you go. And you get the child, and you bring it, and you lead them. And they begin to connect, I believe, in their mind, that when I say come, it means come. And we help them come. Or if they're messing with something in the house they're not supposed to mess with, whether it's a mom's plant or whatever, something that's on, say no. And you take them by the hand, and you lead them away. We teach at an early age. We make the connection that our command demands action. And we help them make that action because possibly at 1.5, they don't quite get it. They probably do. But we help them. We help them. And we get to the point where they get a little older and you say come and they don't come. And it takes a punishment or something if they do not obey. But at an early age, we begin teaching those principles and we help them. We help them do the action because isn't that what God does? He helps us. He says, come. And he said, they might not know what I mean. And so he takes our hand and he leads us. He says, come. Or he says, go. And he comes down and he helps us go. And as we mature, the commands become stronger and the demands become stronger, even with our Heavenly Father. And he says, listen, you know what I mean. Now go do it. Or now come. But we begin gently. We begin by infusing into that mind that the command demands an action. Number three, cause children to want to obey. Cause children to want to obey. Do your children really want to obey you? Do you think they do? I believe down deep in their hearts they do want to. But the evil nature is there. And so in that, they rebel against authority. But how can we help our children to want to obey? And in answering this, I had to ask myself, why do I want to obey God? I want to obey God. With all my heart, I do. Why? Because he has done so much for me. Because he has provided a way. Because he cares about me. Because he loves me. Because he is good to me. God has never done me ill. He has never done me evil. He's a perfect example. I want to obey him. And these are the things that we strive as parents to do, because if we have these things in place, and I know we're human, understand me. But as we strive to be an example of that Father God, I believe there is something in our children that they want to obey. Tragic to see a home where the children are scattering and there is the resistance against authority and against dad and mom, and the whole place is in a turmoil, and just it is just completely a terrible place to be. And I have to wonder if this isn't part of the problem when we look at a situation like that. Somehow the parents' lives in some way are out of order, and they have not followed that pattern of Father God as close as they can in humanity. And children resist. I'm still a dad. I don't have all the answers, but it's some of the things that I ponder. But when I consider why I want to obey God, there is something about God that draws me. And there can be something about parents that draws the best out of your child, draws the best out of your sons and daughters, and they want to obey. It doesn't mean that the evil nature has gone away. It doesn't mean that there will never be a tight spot. It doesn't mean that there will never be any resistance. It doesn't mean that. But it does mean that maybe percentage-wise, largely, your child will say, well, you know, even though they're like, inside, they feel like, you know, I really have to. They want to please you. That can be there. I'm positive that can be there. Number four, express gratitude for prompt obedience. And I think for myself, it's something that I think I tend, at least in my own evaluation of myself, I tend to teach by negative. In other words, don't do that. Stay away from that. That's not good for you. You really shouldn't be doing that. I think I tend to be heavier on the negative instead of thank you so much for this. And I think I want to do better in expressing my gratitude for obedience. It's so easy to talk about and to at least for me, if they didn't do something right, say, listen, you know, I told you this. You know, you're outside the line because I put this line here. It's easy for me to go, but I want to grow in expressing my gratitude for that prompt obedience, because God blesses us when we obey Him, and His blessing is, but we know that He loves us, and we know that His smile of approval is upon us when we obey Him. So express gratitude for prompt obedience. Fifthly, be realistic in the commands we place upon our children. Be realistic. In other words, so we're expecting obedience out of our child, but we place an unrealistic goal, or we place an unrealistic command upon them, such as you could ask a 3-year-old, you know, and this is just really a wild example just to bring out the point. So you don't ask a 3-year-old, you know, to go and stack a wagon load of hay, and you say go, and he can't, and so you would punish him because he didn't obey. We need to be realistic in the age of the child and what he is capable, what they are capable of doing, and their understanding. We have to take all that in to be realistic. I might have gave this story before, but a mistake I made early on as a father. I had a son that had some problems going to the restroom. And so, a young father, I said to this son, I said, you go to the bathroom or I'm going to have to spank you. Well, fear doesn't go a long way in the restroom. I made a terrible mistake. Be realistic. Be sensible and sensitive in the commands we place upon our children. It was a mistake. You know, in the challenge of the moment, you know, this is the way we need to move forward. But it wasn't the way forward. Number six, it is better to consistently require obedience and give less commands than to lose our way in the multitude of details. And that's terrible wording for that point. Well, what I learned some years ago in talking with individuals is Some parents don't require quite as much. In other words, they're not, micromanager. Some of us tend to be micromanagers, and so we tell our children, don't climb the tree, you might break your leg. And don't do that because that's dangerous. And we have all these commands that our children are living in jail. And so what can happen when we have all those commands out there and they start disobeying, because boys just love to climb trees, so they climb a tree. Well, now, and you start, children start relating that, okay, dad has a whole pile of commands. But when it comes to enforcing them, he don't have the energy. He has too many out there. He can't keep track of what he did tell you to do and what he didn't tell you to do. And there's a bad scenario happens. And after a while, dad's word doesn't count. Be better to have 4 commands and make sure that you carry out and you keep your children in those lines than to have 400 and not be able to keep them in. And we could relate that to being realistic too, as far as, you know, there's things we fear as parents, such as sometimes you don't let your children go swimming because you're afraid they're drowned. You don't let them climb trees because they break their legs. But boys just love to climb trees. Why would you have a rule that boys aren't allowed to climb trees? And I don't know anybody that does, but I'm just giving it as an example. So I think as parents we need to remember that. What are the important things that we want to teach our children? What are the important commands that we are going to keep? And some of those simply are, when we say, wash the dishes, and you know that the dishes go get washed. And we say, come, we're going to have family worship, and they come. And again, this is a work in process. My wife and I have been talking about, you know, it just seems like there's delay in obedience. And where does all that come in? So we work at these things. But let's not lose our way in the multitude of details. Along with this point is, I think we should remember that an active child is not necessarily a disobedient child. Sometimes there's active children, they have so much energy that they just need to run and jump and play, and where us as parents, we have lost a lot of that energy perhaps, and so we could start making rules that where you don't do that. Well, in our house sometimes, you know, children start running upstairs and they're playing tag, and then I say, downstairs. It's not like you can't run. You can't run upstairs. You can go to the basement. You can run all you want to run. And you can, down there, you can, whatever you want to do. Play tag, play prisoner's base, whatever you want to do in the basement, go. But upstairs, that's off limits. But if we would just say, no, that can't be done, and they have that energy to run off, it can make a difficult situation. So an active child is not necessarily a disobedient child. We'll try to give direction to our home where those energies can be run off in a proper way. Or we might run ourselves into a problem in administrating our own home. 7th, clear disobedience must be punished for a child to forsake it. Clear disobedience must be punished. And I'm a strong advocate of the Bible. The Bible way of using the rod. And again, it must be done gently. There is no room for abuse. There is no room for anger in disciplining our child. But clear disobedience must be punished. And I'm also I don't strongly recommend the timeout and some of those things. Now, there are times when there's something lesser that possibly doesn't call for a spanking. I just haven't seen a lot of good results from the timeout type thing. And if you have a different thought than that, I'd be open to hear that. But that's been my observation. There have been times when he had the timeout and the parents thought it was funny. The boy reached up behind him and he turned the clock down till his timeout was over. And the parents thought it was hilarious. There's a tragedy involving that very young man today, and he's a long ways from here. Clear disobedience must be punished for a child to forsake it. And I want to encourage that. Let's not lose the biblical way of bringing our children into submissive compliance. Well, God bless all of you, all of us, as we strive for a life of obedience toward God and His church, ourselves, while training our children into a lifestyle of obedience that helps prepare them to answer the call of God in their own life. May God bless you as a parent. It's not an easy work. but we have a Heavenly Father that cares for us and gives us strength. And let's be that example to our children so that they want to obey, that they also will enter into the kingdom of heaven. May God bless. Shall we pray?